Say the word and there is light. Say the word and dead bones rise. Every start and ending's on your
It is done. It is done.
Living in a billion skies, speaking to this heart of mine. All that I am with all creation, hanging up every word that you've spoken. Well, it will not be shaken, clinging for life to all your promise, hanging up every.
Hello. Good morning. I guess we should apologize if the lights are a bit funny because we're just trialing some new things, which is kind of exciting. Anyway, welcome to church this morning. I'm going to read from Psalm 95. It's a great psalm. It says this, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song." It's kind of what we're doing this morning, which is awesome. "For the Lord is great, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." Let's just pray. Thank you, Father God. Lord, what a privilege it is to be able to come here this morning and just worship you freely. Lord, we bow before you. We surrender all to you. And Lord, we just come and we want to make a joyful noise to you because it is such a joy to be alive and to know you, Jesus. In your name. Amen. Let's stand and sing. Awesome.
And every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. But who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's warring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee for the sins of the world, his blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. For every knee will bow before him. So open up the gate. Make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. But who can stop the Lord Almighty?
What a joy. We love you, Lord. We just bow before you. Thank you, Jesus.
Your rich in love and joy.
We're just going to pray here this morning. If you want to take a seat, you can take a seat. Or if you want to stand, stand with me. And we serve an awesome God. He's massive. He's huge. He's the God of miracles. I love what that psalm says. He holds the earth in his hand. It's amazing. He's powerful. So I just want to pray here this morning. If anyone's got any needs, if you feel comfortable, just lift your hands. I've got needs. I've got so many needs. I've just had a hectic week, crazy week. And it's cool because God meets us where we're at. And it's okay to be broken. So Lord, I just lift up every need in this house. I thank you that you meet us where we're at, Lord. And I just pray that whatever's going on, Lord, if it's a healing that needs to take place, I just pray for a healing. I thank you that you're the God of miracles, that you're a big God, you're an awesome God, you're powerful. So Lord, we just pray for healings. Just pray for healings, Lord, whether it's cancer, whether it's deaf ears, whatever it is, Lord, we just release healing in Jesus' name. But we also just pray for Bondi Junction. We pray for the eastern suburbs. Lord, we thank you that revival is starting. Thank you that you say in your word that you pour out your spirit on all men, young and old. So we just pray for revival in this place, Lord. Thank you for revival in our hearts. We also just want to lift up the young people of our church, Lord. And the young adults, Lord, we just pray you just bless them, you be with them. Just pray for anyone who's on holiday. We just pray that you protect them. And Lord, we also want to just lift up our leaders as well. Lord, we just lift up Peter. We just pray for him. We pray for his family. Lord, I just thank you that all things work together for good for those who love you, Lord. So we just lift up Peter. Lord, we just thank you for all the churches in this area as well. We just thank you that they would just be on fire for you, Lord. And I just pray a holy fire would just burn through this place, that we would just be so alive in you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to sing a song called He Loves Us. And I think it's so important to remember that Jesus, He loves us so much. And sometimes it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter. Like, Jesus loves you. He loves you as you are. You come to Him. Come to Him broken. It's fine. It's okay. Because sometimes we can often, you know, like I do this all the time. I come through the week, oh, I'm okay. And really, I'm not okay. But we need to come to Jesus with everything. So I encourage us here this morning, if you got stuff, just come to Him in this next song. So if you'd like to stand and sing, you can sit, do whatever. We're going to sing He Loves. Awesome. For someone this morning. He loves us. Come on, let's sing it.
He loves us. And oh, how He loves us. And oh, how He loves us. And oh, how He loves. Yeah, He loves us. And oh, so heaven meets earth like an unforeseen
and my heart turns violently inside my chest, and I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way.
Sing that out.
Oh, he loves us. And oh, how he loves us. And oh, how he loves us. And oh, how he loves us. Yeah, he loves us. And oh,
Lord, that you love us no matter what's going on. We bow before you here this morning. You're an awesome God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I believe we have a video now, so I'd like to spin that.
Morning, folks. Can you even begin to get your head and your heart around it? I mean, we are here with Jesus, the one who holds heaven and earth, divine and human, spiritual and natural, storm-calming, life-giving, earth-shaking, sin-washing, death-overcoming, Jesus. So welcome. Yes, it's time to be together. Yes, it's time to sing. It's time to pray. It's time to look at God's word. Yes, it's time to give thanks. Yes, it's time to receive forgiveness. But more than anything else, we're here to worship Jesus. Because one day, as we've seen in Philippians over a number of weeks, one day at the name of Jesus, we will bow our knee. And welcome as we do that today. We give our lives and we submit our lives to Jesus. My name's Peter Godwin. I'm the minister here at Church in the Marketplace. Is anyone here for the first time today? Okay, welcome. Welcome. It's good. We'll catch up with some names later on. It's great to have you here at Church in the Marketplace, and we want to say a special good day. Please be our guest, and we will try to be good hosts. Folks, here we come to open up our lives to Jesus and to one another so that we get immersed in prayer and in love and encouragement. So please do that for one another today, not just for somebody who's new, but do that for one another. Prayer and love and encouragement. 2 weeks ago, I asked you to welcome one another by sharing one good thing that had happened over the past week. Well, you could have gone on for 20 minutes about that. That was a good thing. Last week, I asked you to tell the person near you what's something you're looking forward to next week, one thing you're asking God for in the week ahead. And it really comes out of Philippians 4, chapter 6. It's a picture and a verse that we put up on our Facebook page. Raina had it up there early in the week. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He's done. Now, we kind of reversed the order of that. So 2 weeks ago, we thanked God for, you know, something He's done, one thing to thank God for. And then last week, it was one thing to ask God for, because I was trying to warm you up for something that's a little bit more difficult. So as you say g'day to someone, I'm going to give you just a few minutes to think about it. What's one thing that you're worried about or concerned about? What's one thing? I mean, if we're going to pray for one another and we're going to love one another, we ought to know that too. So what's one thing that concerns you? Maybe it's about your life, your circumstances. Maybe it's about the world around you. Maybe it's the state of the world, whatever it is. But what's one thing this morning that you think, gee, I seem to be concerned about? That rattles around in my head an awful lot, and I'm concerned about that, or I'm worried about that. And instead you want to pray, and instead of worrying, maybe thank God some more than worrying about that just one thing. So I'm asking you to be a bit brave and be a bit honest this morning. Think about it for 10 seconds. See how long you talk for this morning. Okay, welcome somebody next to you. Don't forget to say g'day and just say, this is one of the things that I tend to worry about a little bit. Off you go. Oh, there you are. Time's up. Raina's got a timer for everything. Okay, let's... I didn't know there were so many worries and concerns in the place, but there you are. Friends, may I pray with you? May I pray with you? Let's pray. God, our holy friend, the world is full of stuff, problems that... more problems than we can handle, and it's true. So often we worry and take to ourselves things that only you can sort out and redeem and bless. Even our community is too much for us. Just the needs of our families at times exhaust the resources of our wisdom and our patience and our strength. So we want to say thanks for the revelation we see in Jesus that you are never uncaring, and you are never outwitted, and you are never exhausted. And as we sang, how you love us. So our prayer this morning is, please use us and all of those other servants of yours who attempt to the best of their ability to share your grace with a broken and a tumultuous world. Please bless today's prophets and reformers and pastors and peacemakers and evangelists and healers and comforters and encouragers. Please shine your light into the darkest places. Please bring your great love, your reconciling love, to break down barriers and bring your compassion to hold all those who are broken and abused, and please bring your patience to persist with the impetuous and impatient, and your mercy to overcome even the hardest of hearts. And Lord, we pray, help us here at Church in the Marketplace to so care for our own members with love and respect that we get fired up by your Holy Spirit to be the body of. Morning everyone, if you're here in the auditorium or if you're watching up in the gallery, and if you're joining us online, if you're listening to our podcast, then we want to say that it's great to have you joining us, and we pray that God will bless you as you listen in with us. Well, as I said, we've come to the end of this series that we've called The Track. We based it on a book by a guy called Andy Stanley called The Principle of the Path, How to Get from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. And I found it a really helpful book to help me think about my life and remind me of its destination and think again about how I'm getting there, the direction that I'm taking. So far in this series, we've learned some things like our direction determines our destination. If you want to open your Bible, we're in Proverbs. You don't have to look up every one of these, but our direction determines our destination. We looked at life being a series sometimes of mid-course corrections in Proverbs 22. We didn't spend a Sunday on this, but I encourage you to read through Proverbs, and I mentioned it, so you will find in Proverbs 3 the idea that we shouldn't always trust our hearts, but we should trust our hearts instead to God. Here was another part of Proverbs, again we didn't spend a Sunday on it, but it said reputation matters, so we should choose the story that we will tell and tell well. We did this one when Proverbs chapter 15 that was about wise people seeking counsel. And last week, we looked at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25, the idea that what we give our attention to determines our direction and ultimately our destination. It said, look straight ahead, don't get distracted by things that will lead us off the track. Now, this morning, we want to see what Solomon has to offer when we realize that the destination we are trying to reach is unachievable. That the dream we had isn't the hope, and that hope that we had isn't going to be fulfilled. So as we are prepared to think about that, let's pray. Our Lord, yes, we look at our life as a track, a path, a journey. And we think about our final destination. We know that's a home with you in eternal life in heaven. But Lord, all along the way, we have hopes and dreams and pictures of how life might unfold. And some of those hopes and dreams on the track of our life don't come to bear fruit. They don't come to fruition. They don't come to fulfillment. So as we think about that, Lord, this morning, we pray that you would just help us to work out what we do when we're confronted by that situation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So that's the question. What do we do when we find ourselves trying to reach a destination that is unreachable? Andy Stanley says, sometimes destinations are unreachable. Some dreams won't come true. Some dreams can't come true. Some destinations become unreachable because of lifestyle choices. Some are unreachable because of just a single decision. Some destinations are out of reach because of mistakes we've made. Some are out of reach because of decisions that other people have made. Sometimes we're to blame. Sometimes there's no one to blame. In time, the reason behind our inability to get where we want to becomes irrelevant. We are where we are. We aren't where we want to be, and there's nothing we can do to change that. Folks, I reckon everybody faces that kind of disappointment at some point. Time is sometimes the culprit. There was a famous American Football League coach, his name from the Green Bay Packers, his name was Vince Lombardi, and he said, "We didn't lose, we just ran out of time." We didn't lose, we just ran out of time. And perhaps with unlimited time, we could make more of our dreams come true. If we could stop the clock, we might be able to reach any destination that we choose. But there aren't any timeouts in life. The clock is always running. At some point, we wake up to the realization that it, whatever it is, isn't going to happen for us. So the verse I want to focus on this morning, if you want to look to it in your Bible, is Proverbs 13, verse 12. The Bible says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. I think that's true. When we realize our dream is unrealizable, our heart gets sick. It's our natural first reaction. We ache, we hurt, we wake up gasping in the middle of the night. So what do we do when we can't reach our destination? So here's a couple of thoughts. We do. We get heart sick. And when we're heart sick, we either stay there and get bitter, or we work at it somehow and we get better. As a 17-year-old, Joseph had all the dreams in the world. He had a literal dream that one day he would rule over his father and brothers. And then he found himself in slavery and the dream died. His heart must have been beyond sick. Daniel, at about the same age, found himself chained to other young Israelites and dragged hundreds of miles into exile in a foreign country. His heart must have been sick. Would he get bitter or would he get better? King David got word one day that his newborn son was probably going to die. How would he deal with that? The Apostle Paul found himself with a physical disease. He called it a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what that was, but it was a handicap that he says severely limited him. Some believe he had poor eyesight. Imagine struggling to read if your whole life revolved around communicating and writing and preaching. Some believe he had poor knees. I don't know where they get that idea from, but imagine barely being able to walk in a culture that had no trains and planes or automobiles. They didn't even have John's bike. Most people believe he had epilepsy. Imagine getting up in front of crowds to speak and finding yourself suddenly thrown to the ground in an uncontrollable seizure. We don't know what Paul had, but he despaired over it. His heart was sick about it. And then there's Jesus. The Bible says that on the night before he was crucified, he went to the garden and prayed about the kind of death that he was facing. He prayed, "Father, if there's any way we can do this without me having to die on the cross, please take this fate from me." He was so anguished about it, they said, he sweated drops of blood. What do we do when we're heart sick? How can we avoid bitterness and move towards betterness? Andy Stanley says, "What do we do when our dream can't come true?" We can get angry with God, angry with life. We can despair. We can try to make something happen anyway. We can try to live it out our dream through our kids. I've seen that plenty of times. But at the end of our striving and manipulating, nothing will have changed. We'll be just as far away from whatever it is we desired, but now we'll be far away from God as well. Our second option, I think, is to do what Paul did. He writes to his friends in Corinth. He says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me." It's in 2 Corinthians. Paul had some amazing things happen to him in his life. His highs were really high, but now he's got this low. He's got a physical ailment, and he's going to have to live with it for the rest of his life, it seems. It's probably painful, and it certainly keeps him from fulfilling his dreams. But we can see what he did. We can pray fervently. We can continue to pray. So our second step is to pray. And Paul prayed fervently three times. But ultimately it says, "But he said to me," God to Paul, "my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." So that gives a bit of a hint about the third thing we can do. We can listen for God's voice. When we find ourselves facing those unrealizable dreams, we can listen for God's voice. In the midst of a prayer, it's possible to hear God speak. And if that doesn't bring a change and we sense God saying, "This is going to stay with you," then we have to find the good in that situation. Romans 8:28 says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Paul found a way to believe that God's grace was sufficient for him, that God's power would be even better displayed in his weakness and in his physical infirmity. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Fourth thing we can do is accept the reality and find the good in it. It's part of the track towards betterness. Paul continues, therefore he says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You can see how Paul's mind has begun to come around to a different way of thinking about his circumstances and his weakness. The fifth thing we can do is we can use our hardship for God's glory. Whatever it was Paul had, he determined to use it for God's glory. When Jesus was facing his darkest moment, wrestling with the unreachable destination of staying alive and avoiding the agony of the cross, he chose this option. He prayed fervently. This is Jesus. My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And then he prayed this prayer a second time. The second time he prayed about not having to face his inevitable hardship, his prayer changed slightly. It becomes, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done. See how the prayer has changed. He accepted reality, found the good in it, determined to use his hardship for God's glory. In this case, the saving of humankind. So remember back at Proverbs 13 verse 12, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Can you imagine how sick Jesus' heart must have been in those closing moments before his arrest? He knew what was coming. He knew his hope was going to have to defer to another day, or in his case, another life, to his future life after the grave. And some of us have to do that as well with our hopes, to defer them till then. Our hope is deferred because we realize that our dream probably isn't going to come true. I don't know what that is. Probably you aren't going to get married, or aren't going to get married again, at least for a long time. Probably aren't going to be able to keep your home or keep a job or get a promotion, the one that we always wanted, or have the kind of health that we assumed would be ours. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. It's a reality of life on earth, friends. Earth is earth, it isn't heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 16, in this world you will have trouble. Don't know a single person who has had all of their dreams fulfilled. I suspect it wouldn't even be healthy if they did. But there's something that softens us, something that enables us to admit that we're not all that we were made to be. There is something humbling in a positive way about not having all our dreams fulfilled. So look at these couple of verses, and I want you to notice the word but. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Or our verse in Proverbs, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Joseph's heart was sick. He was a slave, then a prisoner, and then one day he's summoned before Pharaoh, and his dreams began to be fulfilled in ways that he could never imagine. He became prime minister, he saved all of Egypt, his own family from starvation. He saw his brothers bow down before him and his father fall to his knees in gratitude to God that his treasured son was fully alive and doing so well. Most often, God leaves us with a thorn in the flesh, an obstacle or two that we have to learn to trust him with. That can be a good thing in itself. But sometimes he does a good thing that's more than exactly what we wanted. It's beyond what we could have asked or imagined. And I reckon, I believe that every dead and dying dream is still in God's hands today. He knows about your dreams. He cares about my dreams. He cares about us. How he loves us, we sang. So he may not restore the dream, but never believe that he can't or he won't if it's truly good for us. Sometimes God buries our dreams because they wouldn't be good for us. Sometimes he asks us to bury our dreams so that he can resurrect them to better things. Jesus faced his worst nightmare in going to the cross. There was no dream fulfillment there, only pain. But God made good out of it, the salvation of humankind. And God even made good out of it for Jesus. So the Bible says, from Philippians where we've looked before, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Folks, remember the couple of scriptures we're kind of working with. Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for good for those who love him. Matthew 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And from Proverbs, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. So what do we do when our hope gets deferred? Yes, it's okay to be heart sick. We can pray fervently, we can listen for God's voice, we can accept reality and find the good in it, we can use our hardship for God's glory. And lastly, we can believe that somewhere along our track, our path in life, God will do something outrageously good for us. God loves us. God wants to bless us. He wants us to experience joy, and he knows we need hope. The second part of Proverbs 13:12 says, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. What do we do when our longing is fulfilled? The Israelites, remember the story, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. They had disobeyed God. They'd lost their chance to enter the promised land. Their dream was dead. Then one day God said to Joshua, let's resurrect that dream. Joshua, line the people up tomorrow and we will cross the Jordan. And you can follow it at the end of Joshua chapter 4, I think it is, but here it is up here, that part of the story. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each one of you, he said, is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you what do these stones mean, tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So when our longing is fulfilled, we make sure people hear the story. The Israelites, they stacked up some rocks so that whenever anyone saw them, they'd say, what's that about? And they'd reply, that's about when God showed up. Let me tell you the story. I don't know what dreams are unfulfilled for you, but I want you to think for a minute, how many of you have a story when God showed up and fulfilled the longing of your heart? Maybe you're sitting next to him or her. Some of you live it. Some of you bear the scars of it. Some of yours are still in the promised land. While you're thinking about that, I want to give you a rock. Well, it's not a rock. It's just a little stone, really. But I'm going to get, Brody, can you get someone and help just pass them around? I want you to think about when God showed up. And I want you to take this stone. I know most of it will go home and eventually it'll be tossed out. But I want you to keep it for a while and think about, as you look at that stone, it's a story about when God showed up for you. And how is that a story that you can tell? And so this morning, like we've been doing, I just want you to think of one specific instance where God has been good to you. And if you put it on the coffee table at home and somebody comes and says, what have you got that there for? You say, oh, that's just a story about when God showed up. No throwing rocks after. This isn't the story of the stoning of the woman, you know. So none of that after church. Just put it in your pocket and take it home. Our Lord. Sometimes our hearts break. Because the dream, the hope, for whatever reason, lies in tatters at our feet. So Lord, help us to honour the pain of that, the heartache. But help us not to get stuck there. Help us not to be bitter. Help us, through our faith and our love and care and encouragement of one another, to move towards a place that is better. Help us as we pray to you. Help us as we seek to trust you with all of our life and its circumstances. Help us to remember not just the thing that is in front of us and seems like now a shattered dream, but help us to remember the times when you have shown up for us. So Lord, as we take a rock, help us this morning just to remember one time that you showed up for us. And to have gratitude on our hearts because of the amazing